Good morning.
Good.
Thank you. Last time I came to church, someone asked me, "Are you a newcomer?" You realize, even though I'm staying in Colombia, I don't usually come to this church like on Sunday unless I preach, because I'm preaching almost everywhere. And then this is my second time I come back to preach this year. So I feel more like at home in the English service because I know all of you almost. But when I go to the Chinese congregation, some of them, they are so new to me. I don't know them. And it's good to have you back, some of you from our town. And this morning I would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody, especially the children. You remember I put this up in February on the kitchen wall. It was because our church in Africa was burned down in January 17. Our house burned down also. All our ministry gone. I mean the building gone. And then five of our Christian family were chasing by the Muslim, and also they burned part of their house down. And the Muslim, they burned down, almost they tried to burn down the police station. And they burned down the town hall, and they also burned down a minister's house. So last time when I shared with you people, the children start collecting offering for the church in Africa to rebuild their church building. And then we are going to send the money to them. You know how much the Sunday school children gave? Any idea? $330-something. Give them the applause. Thank you to the parents, to the children. And the adult gave 4,000-something, I forgot the number, because it's not coming through me. They are going to rebuild their church building very soon. And I put this one on the kitchen wall for maybe several months already. So today I decided to take it down. But if you are from outside, you want to have a look, those Christians in Africa and those buildings were burned down, then you can take a look afterward, because today I'm bringing it back home. And this morning, before I preach, I would like to encourage you all to memorize two verses together with me. Okay? Can we show on the screen, PowerPoint? Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Huh? Back up. Okay, 1. Okay, let's, I believe you all are intelligent and with good mind, so we are going to read through twice only, then you'll memorize it. Okay? Okay. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Second time. Call to me, and I will answer you. Tell you great and unsearchable things do not know. Okay? Try not to look. If you you cannot remember, then, you know, you can take a quick look, okay? Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Good. Another verse from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Okay, it's here already. Okay, let's read twice and then try to memorize it also. preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Again, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Can you memorize it? Okay. If you still need help, you know, try to read through a few more times before you go to sleep tonight. Then you better, you know, you remember then. Here saying that be prepared. Be prepared. Brothers and sisters, when I read Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call to me. When we call to God, be prepared that God is going to answer us. Be prepared. A lot of people say that I never heard God saying anything to me. Because we don't pray. Or sometimes we pray something is not according to God's will. Sometimes we only ask for help to, like, you know, our health or our schoolwork or our relationship with other people. Those are important, but those are not exactly what we need to pray in terms of be prepared ourselves. What do we mean by be prepared? In season and out of season, we need to preach the word of God. We need to share with other people. Well, you see, you know, I tried, and I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. So this morning is more like a testimony time. I'm not going to expose through all those, important phrase or word in these two verses. I just want to share with you something. It's very encouraging. Probably all of you know that I resigned from the church 1.5 years ago. And then Emily and I, we are full-time involving in one ministry called 1.3 billion. How many zero? That's a lot. I lost count. It's a lot. What is that ministry? The ministry is encouraging 1.3 billion Chinese Christians. I mean, not all the Chinese are Christian. I mean, but at least the Chinese, 1.3 billion of them, many of them are Christians. My ministry is going around to churches to challenge the Chinese churches to be ready, get equipped to reach out to the 1.3 billion Muslim people. Now, of course, when I mention 1.3 billion, this has become my other name. When you tell, you know, people talk about me, they say, oh, 1.3 billion. You know, when I say that was maybe 10 years ago. You know, for the past 10 years, the Chinese reached 1.4 billion already now. For the Muslim, they say they have 1.5 billion. I mean, the challenge is getting bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger. Why I resigned from the church? Not because I don't like the church. I love this church. But because my heart is always out there. You know, pray for the Muslim. Pray that more Chinese churches, English speaking, Chinese speaking, we can really have the burden to reach out to the Muslim. And a lot of churches saying that, wow, it's so difficult. We have so many Chinese, we don't even have the confidence to reach out to all of them. How can we thinking about reaching out to another, you know, other people groups like Muslim? They are not Chinese, mainly they are not Chinese. Well, we never know. We never know. It was a challenge for me because many churches, they would like me to talk anything but Muslim. They would like to hear me telling them story about Africa, you know, kind of thing. But they don't feel like, why you need to talk about Muslim? But in the past 18 months, when I travel around visiting churches in different places, different countries, I have seen a lot of encouraging signs. A lot of pastors, church leaders, brothers and sisters, they are thinking about, wow, maybe we should do something for them. At least we start to pray for them or get to know them. And then maybe we need some training so that we know how to reach out to them. So this is an encouraging sign. For the past many years, I kept hearing one story about a mysterious church. When I say mysterious church, because it happened in somewhere that I'm familiar with. But I have no idea what happened. I have no idea who is involving in that church. So last year when I went back home, I visited the Bible school, the Bible seminary there. The principal asked me, Pastor Won, do you think this is true? That they say their church now is 800 people. I mean, 800 Muslim converts. Not any attendance, it's Muslim converts. All of them were Muslim. Now they are Christian. 800. And I thought, wow, because the year before I heard 400. I said, that's not possible, because, you know, in 2 years ago, 400, and last year, 800. And I say, wow, I'm not sure, because I've been involving in this kind of ministry, you know, a little bit here and there, but I don't see Muslim converts in a huge number like this. And they are gathering, they are worshipping God all the time. So I was curious, like, wow, I say to God, you know, how can I know that this is true or not? You know? So this year when I was traveling to Asia for 9 weeks, and the first week I was teaching in a theological seminary, all of them, the students, they were pastors. So when I was teaching the 4 days intensive course from 8 to 7, it's very tiring because I just landed Malaysia. And, you know, after less than 24 hours, I start teaching. But the thing is, on the third day, and then one of the, he wasn't a student because he was a theological seminary professor, but his wife was my student, so he accompanied her to come to my class. So he came to me, he said, Pastor, do you want to contact this person? I said, well, who is he? He said, you know, he is the one who is the leader for this huge Muslim convert church. I said, well, I heard about something, but I never know who was involving in that, or who is involving in that. Of course, I would like to talk to him. But I know, because many pastors, even, you know, the Bible school principal I mentioned, he didn't have any chance to meet the person personally, because they say it's very sensitive, it's not safe for anyone to meet with him. And then so this professor called him, and then when, you know, he handed over the cell phone to me, I said, hey, I'm Pastor Won. He said, oh, Pastor, I heard you preach some years ago. So, well, I said, who are you? So he told me his name. I said, I have no idea. No idea who are you. And then he said, do you know my brother? So he mentioned his brother. Then I know his brother, because his brother is one of the deacon of one of those churches that I know well. But I never met him personally. You know, when I preach, someone sitting in the congregation that I may not realize. But anyway, he said, Pastor, when are you coming? Let's have a dinner together. Well, I thought this is funny, because I didn't expect it. Because basically a lot of people try to talk to him and know what is going on, and he refused. And then someone that we don't know each other well, and then he said, let's meet. So we met for 3 hours after a few days, you know, after I finished my teaching. A few days after we met. You know, the story really moved me, touched me very deeply. He never prayed for Muslim. He never. He never thought about reaching out to the Muslim. He knows very little about Muslim, even he lives in a country is a Muslim majority country. He never cared. He never cared. And his story is so touching, and I decided to share with you. Because he said, in 1997, he was a CEO for a huge company, the Timber Company, cross-country, international. So he was very rich, very rich. So 3 times in 1997, just one thing happened, that he realized that God called him to this ministry. The first time was he bought an airplane for international flight. He was sitting in the first class, the first row, number one, and then the seat number two was a very sincere Muslim. And then he just didn't like the Muslim, because whenever he put his arm on the, how do you call it, seat, you know, whenever he put it there and took it down, and the Muslim would pull out his handkerchief and just clean it and put his hand on. So he thought, wow, you Muslim, you thought we are dirty. We eat pork. And then so you don't feel like we are clean, we are good enough for you. So he was so angry, 8 hours in the airplane. It's so tiring. So that's over, because 8 hours he pretend, you know, sleeping, whatever, do anything. In the first class he can order more food and keep eating. Whatever reason, he just ignored the person. And then after a month or two, he bought a plane for the same route, 8 hours flight. Again the same person sitting beside him. So he started talking a little bit, found out who is he, like, why you were traveling, like, you know, it's interesting, because not too long ago we sat together, now we are sitting together again. So he started talking and found out this is the principal of a college. It's a very educated man, very sincere Muslim. So they talk a little bit, and he say, okay, well, I'm a Christian, but he didn't share any like anything more than that. And the third time, he was on the same route again. He was so glad that that person next to him wasn't the same person. So he was so glad that, okay, now, you know, he can talk to the you know, neighbor, like, you know, the one share the same role. So they, you know, but when he arrived, the place that he need to change another flight to another place, when he sat down and the same person appeared again, same person, and both of them look at each other, say, one say, Inshallah. Inshallah in Arabic means Allah's will. And he said, must be God's will, because there is no way, because it's not a popular route for a lot of travelers. And why the same person said, you know, together with him 3 times. So they start talking. But he said that he had no heart for Muslims, so he didn't share good news. Nothing else. He just talk about his business. He is the CEO for a big company. So the other side say, I'm a principal for a college. And they talk. And finally, they exchange a telephone number. That's it. And after a month or two, the person went to Mecca for Haji. That means pilgrimage. You know, most of the Muslims, they would like to go to Mecca at least once in their life to pay, you know, like pilgrimage to Mecca. And this Haji, this man has been to Mecca several times because he is rich, he is educated. So he went there to Mecca, and after the whole ritual ceremony, everything, and this man continued on to London. So when he was in London, he is a very educated man, so he visits a lot of like a museum or library kind of thing. He is not a tourist person, because he liked to read books and find more information. So he said that he went into an old building somewhere in London. I'm not sure exactly, I can't recall. And then he saw an old Quran. That is the holy book for the Muslim. Very old. And put on in the high table. And alongside, there's another old Bible. So he was very curious. So he turned around. He said that he read Quran and Bible before. But he turned pages in the Quran and found Jesus. And he remembered, Bible says Jesus also. So he turned around and looked for Jesus. Happened that he turned to one of the four Gospels, you know, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there were a lot of verses talking about Jesus. So when he read the Quran, when he read the Bible, you know, Quran, there are around 25 verses talking about Jesus. But they are not together, you know. It's very difficult to find where they are. But in the Bible, it's easy. When you turn into like Matthew or Mark or, you know, one of the four Gospels, then you will see Jesus, his teaching, his miraculous, you know, healing, whatever. There's a lot of, you know, verses about Jesus. So when he read through a few verses, and then he just felt like, this, I need to call my friend. So in the museum, he called a friend. They share the same, you know, aeroplane, like, you know, first class seat together. And he called a friend saying, hey, how can I believe in Jesus? How can I become a Christian? And the friend say, what? Where are you? And they talk about a little bit. The friend say, come back, let's talk more when you come back. Because he wasn't prepared to share anything more than, you know, like maybe four spiritual laws or whatever, but he doesn't feel like he can explain it well to a Muslim. So the man came back. The man came back, and after they talked, and the Muslim man became Christian and clearly know what does it mean by being a Christian. And then this man saying that, I want to go to Bible school. And the Chinese Christians say, wait. You don't go to Bible school over, like, you know, you just accept the Lord, you know, no more than 2 days, 3 days. You don't go to Bible school. You better get to know more about who is Jesus. So, personally, he discipleship these Muslim believers. And then, year 2000, this man went to Bible school for 3 years. So 2003, he came out and he became a full-time pastor to reach out to his own people. For the first 3 years, he struggled because a lot of persecution, a lot of people misunderstand him. He resigned from the principal position. A lot of people just doubting, like, what are you doing? You know, you gave up this important like position. What are you doing? So. But anyway, his heart is for the Lord. For 3 years, his congregation grew out to around 20 people. But a lot of persecution, a lot of people turn back to Islam, so he doesn't know what to do. And then one day when they talked together, this Chinese Christian suggests, can we do some seminar? What kind of seminar? How to manage your money. Hey, you people may not know, besides mainland China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore, Chinese live out of China, we are second class citizens. You may not know. We are not treated equally. For this country, Chinese a second class citizen. That means certain kind of job you cannot do. Certain kind of business, you cannot get the license. Only the Muslim can. So the Muslim, whether they like it or not, they become very rich without doing anything sometimes. So those Muslims become Christian. They are very rich people. And they always have no enough money to spend. They don't know how to manage their money. They buy BMW for 2 weeks and sell it because they cannot pay the loan. I mean, they are rich. So the Chinese CEO helped them to organize, you know, like, you know, seminar. And then Within a year or two, all those Christians become so rich. I mean, they keep their money. You know, they keep their car. They keep their house. So a lot of other Muslims, they say, what happened to you? How can you keep your house? How can you keep your car? So they start telling them, we have this kind of seminar. So afterward, a lot of non-Christian, the Muslim came for the seminar. And a lot of them, they show interest, you know, want to know more about Jesus Christ. And since 2006 or 7, then they almost every year double the congregation, the believers. So when this brother told me, you know, just 2-3 months ago, he said, Pastor, do you know what? The last week of April this year, that was 4 months ago, he said our attendance was 1,730 people. So double from last year, again. It was very encouraging. Very encouraging. So I asked him, what is the secret? He said that, you know, Muslims, when they become Christian, they are very serious. They cannot just joking around because they are facing persecution. They need to be sure of their belief, whether they want to follow Jesus and be persecuted and suffer, or to just remain as Muslim. So they consider they are making serious decision. And this brother told me saying that he is the only Chinese, the only non-Muslim background person in a church. And then because he is the founder, and he doesn't speak Chinese well. He was English educated, and then this local, you know, national language educated. So he preached there, but because he is at the same time a chairperson of a deacon board in another Chinese church. So he told them saying that we are not going to meet on Sunday. So this church, they don't meet on Sunday. They meet on Saturday. When the congregation grow, they meet on Friday. And they meet on now on Thursday. That means Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then when the religious person, you know, that's in charge, you know, the religion, you know, department in the country, the head person became Christian, and the head person told them saying that, please, you know, you need to decide on a time that, you know, I have good reason not to send my people to check on you every Sunday. So that's why they don't meet on Sunday. They don't meet in daytime. They meet in 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. every time. Thursday, 4 a.m., Friday, 4 a.m., Saturday, 4 a.m. And then Saturday to 6 o'clock, they dismiss. I was very touched because, you know, they are very committed. Very committed. And then the church sent out, up to a few months ago, they sent out 114 missionaries from one church. 114 missionaries. And I asked them, who support them? I mean, you know, missionaries, not cheap. 1,730 people, they have three pastors. But now they send out 114 missionaries. And he said, oh, Pastor, you don't know. Our church support them. He said, every Sunday, our church offering is several hundred thousand. Several hundred thousand. I can understand. I believe him, because if you know those people, they are just so rich, so rich. What I'm saying here is, you know, be prepared in season and out of season. You never know how God is going to use you. You never know who God will bring to your side. You never know. You can ignore it. You can just pretend you don't hear God. But even a person like him never had the burden for the Muslim. And God prepares someone sitting at his side three times in a row in the same year. And then he decided to obey. He decided to do something about it. And even up to now, he told me, saying that, he said, I don't know how to share with them. But the Holy Spirit started moving. So, brothers and sisters, when we say, Jeremiah say, call to me, we need to look higher. Not call to him in prayer, only pray for our health, pray for our studies, pray for our family. All those are important, but not only those. Because God will help us to see something more important that is from him, unless we start praying out of the box. Unless we start praying according to God's will. Something great, unsearchable, that we may not know. That's what Jeremiah said. And when we call, God answers. God will show us. So I will encourage all of us, no matter what age you are, you know, be prepared. Because once you say to God, God, I'm here. You know, help me, you know, on a lot of things that I need to do well. You know, like study, you know, learning how to, you know, honor your parents, learn, do well in understanding the Bible, you know, just prepare yourself to be a godly man and woman. You know, all those are important. We prepare, ask God to help us to see beyond just the horizontal thing, beyond what God has for us, and be prepared in season, out of season. Even though sometimes we are not gifted in sharing the good news, even though we may not explain things very clearly. But you realize the testimony from this brother is, he just showed a little bit, you know, availability. That means he said, I'm available, and God started using him. That's why I believe, as Christian, we need to look up. We don't look at the thing on this earth all the time. We need to look up. We need to balance our life. We know it's important to do well in this earth, in this world, but we need to look up and see what the greater thing God has for me. So if you decide to do this, I trust that many, many of you, God will direct your life in a very different direction and bless you and bless many other people through you. This is what we mean by being Christian. Follow him and be prepared. Preach the word in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and with careful instruction. And Jeremiah 33 verse 3 say, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Let's pray. Father God, we would like to thank you for this wonderful testimony of this brother. Lord, continue to use him to assist this Muslim background church to grow in you. I would like to thank you because in spite of a lot of persecutions, in spite of a lot of challenges, they just keep trusting you and keep following you. Lord, this is also encouragement to us, an example to us. Help us not to just look at what we need on this world, but also what God you have for us individually, for our life, so that we can be a blessing to many other people. And God, just speak to us. Help us to make the right decision today, so that we can glorify your name. We can please you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.